Welcome to the Sustainable You podcast with your hosts, Jackie Kidman and Lisa Whiston. Self-proclaimed urban hippies, waste warriors, and passionate women. Tune in for practical information and inspiration on how to reduce your impact on the environment and become a more sustainable you.
Before we begin, Lisa and Jackie would like to acknowledge the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and the places on which we record our podcast. We pay our respects to elders past, present, and emerging.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Sustainable You podcast. This week we have Lottie, who is a sustainability expert. She calls herself a sustainability expert, and I would agree, she is a bit of an expert. She's a business owner, she's an educator, and she has got a lot going on. So let's dive straight into it and enjoy this conversation. So, welcome, Lottie. Thank you for your time. So just to get started, I mean, I feel like I know a little bit about you. I feel like we're sisters from another misters, to be honest with you. Like all the stuff that you're doing, I'm like, oh, that's so cool. I'd love to do that. That's great. Someone's doing it. It's really good. So I'm definitely part of your community. So tell us, who is Lottie? Why? What do you do? How did you get here?
Oh, gosh. Okay, so how long have we got? There's a lot about me. I feel like my official, what I normally go by, is the term a sustainability expert. But in saying that, I feel like how I got here is not that straightforward, really. I feel like most people, it kind of takes its twists and turns, and then I have found myself in doing a job now that I absolutely love and adore. So I'm a journalist by trade. I worked at Women's Health and Men's Health magazine for a couple of years, and it was in doing that that I kind of found this passion for sustainability. But at the time, I found that there weren't a lot of people talking about it in mainstream media. It wasn't a conversation that people were having, and there wasn't information out there for people like you and I who just want to do the right thing but don't really know how to. There was a lot of information about kind of people who had been living sustainably for the past kind of 10 or 15 years, or it was something that they'd always grown up doing. But for people who were living their life, there wasn't much information about just those simple, easy, back to basic things that you and I just need, that everybody needs to be doing, like how to use a bamboo toothbrush, what is a stainless steel straw, that kind of stuff. So initially my journey started when I personally made a New Year's resolution. It was to do better. And I didn't really know exactly what that term meant or what I wanted to do, except for to do better. And it was in kind of thinking, okay, well, I'd like to do better for the planet, that I found this passion, because I found this niche. I found this area where everybody wanted to do better for the environment, but there was no information about it. So I launched Banish back in 2018 as a way to communicate with people and to educate people about how to do better. But also what I found when I was on this journey is that there were all of these amazing small Australian businesses that were supplying these great products, from hand-knitted dishcloths to small batch-made cleaning products, but they didn't really have a platform or a way to communicate with a larger audience. So I thought that I could pair my education and storytelling and marketing abilities with all of these small businesses and create this kind of platform, this one-stop shop for sustainable tools, I like to call them, and tools being information but also being products as well. So that's probably me in a bit of a nutshell, I think. I've skipped a couple of things, but generally speaking, that is my what I am and how I got here and what I do.
I love that. That's cool. We launched that podcast in 2018. Look at the links there. And yeah, like we like to talk, so we just thought a podcast is easier for us than to write stuff. So to create like an online platform, that's a big leap from storytelling.
It is. So I've had businesses in the past. I had a catering company when I was 18, and then I had a product-based business when I kind of was fresh out of university. So I've built websites before and I kind of knew that side of things. So for me, it wasn't as difficult as the average person, but still it's definitely been had its challenges. We've now got almost 400 products on the website and over 35 different suppliers. So it's the different scale to what I'm used to. And of course, being me and overcommitting to absolutely everything, when I thought of the idea of Vanish, I also was like, oh, well, great, I'll need some kind of great day to launch it on. And I was like, oh, Clean Up Australia Day is coming up in 2 weeks' time. So why not launch it for that? So it was a little bit of a pressure at the time, but no, it was all well worth it.
So how has it grown? Like, how did it evolve and how did you find the products to start with versus now? I'm sure you're inundated by companies wanting to be listed on Vanish.
Yeah, so to start with was really a personal need. It was as I was going through on my journey to live more sustainably. I'd finish up with a beauty product, for example. I'd finish my shampoo and conditioner bottles and I'd go, okay, great, what's that sustainable swap that I'm going to make next? And I'd do all of the research into which products come without any plastic packaging, which products are septic tank safe, palm oil free, paraben free, you know, the whole list, it goes on. So I was kind of doing all of this research personally myself. So then finding these suppliers, I was going, great, well, now I want to sing about them and talk about them from the rooftops because I've been done all of this work and I want to make it easier for people. So I think it was kind of, it just made sense really at the start. And obviously now 2.5 years later, we are being approached, as you say, by a lot of different brands, but I do like to kind of still hero those small businesses. So I don't want to partner with huge, big organizations. And if we do have, say, for example, a shampoo bar company on the website, I don't want to offer 10 different types of shampoo bars. I just think that it's already confusing enough. We don't need to have lots of different options. So that's why we stock maybe 4 or 5 different coffee cup varieties, but one of them's made from bamboo, one of them's made from glass, one of them is made from stainless steel. So it makes sense because I think if you've got 10 different shampoo bars, like which one are you going to choose? I wouldn't even know where to start. So I think that's probably been my journey to start with, was personal. And yeah, now it's just aligning with those brands. And once you find them, it can be difficult, but once you find them, it's just they go, oh yeah, they read all of the terms and conditions and my big kind of set of criteria and they go, yeah, that's easy. And you go, oh, this is why. There are people out there who are doing the right thing. So it's just about giving them a platform to reach others and to connect with different Australians.
My question, another question would be is, I'm very interested in this waste-free workbook that you offer on your website. How did that evolve?
Yeah, so that was a bit of a COVID pivot. Like, I feel like we all did these kind of different business ideas and it just gave us a bit of extra time really to kind of work on what we were doing. So a lot of what I was doing pre-COVID was a lot of talks and educations and workshops in behalf of community groups and local councils and everything like that. So going out and talking to people, really, that's all I want to do is talk to people about how to reduce their waste. So with lockdown, obviously I had more time, but I had less access to people. I had lots of access to people online through Instagram and Facebook and what have you, but I just have all of this information in my head and it's just all there and I just want to get it across to people. So the Wasteless Workbook is literally just this huge big brain dump of everything that I know in this one workbook. And the way that we've done it is that it goes through each room of the house, because for me, I find that's a lot easier. You can kind of take things step by step rather than just doing it all at once. I like to make a lot of health analogies coming from the health and fitness industry. And it's kind of like you wouldn't quit sugar, run a marathon, I don't know, give up coffee and start a whole new diet on the one day. You'd make small changes. So that's what we've done with the Wasteless Workbook. And there's also an interactive assessment side of things. So you get access to this platform, this portal that asks you questions. It asks you about your current, say in the bathroom, it might ask you about the products that you're currently using, how long you're showering for, everything. So you get a base level score because we're all at different stages when it comes to sustainability. And if you get that base level score, you can kind of go, okay, great, I'm at 11 out of 30 for my bathroom, for example, and I want to improve by 5 points. So how am I going to do that? And that might be having a shorter shower. It might be swapping to a shampoo bar, and it might be kind of investing in a bamboo toothbrush. Because I think the biggest thing is there's all this information out there about sustainability, but it's so broad. It's this one size fits all. And sustainability isn't one size fits all. It's all about each individual making different changes, because if we all did the same thing, it wouldn't actually help the climate crisis. So if we can be doing our own little bit, then this can help out. So that's what we've done with the Waste Less Workbook. We've got the workbook side of things, which is all the education that tells you why you need to make the changes and how to make those changes. And then the interactive assessments, which help you and kind of make it a bit more tangible, because you can swap to using a bamboo toothbrush, for example, and it becomes the norm. So you don't actually think you're doing anything better for the environment. So it's also that reminder that you're going, oh no, I am actually pretty good. I scored, I don't know, 19 out of 30 in the bathroom now. So I think it's just making it tangible for everybody.
That's fantastic. That's so good. What a great resource you've developed. That's awesome.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's also about having that longevity. And it was something that through COVID, I was able to have the time to produce and create. And now as we're going to do more talks and workshops again, it's great to just have it there so that people can refer to it and can still purchase it now.
And you've got another business as well.
Yes, that overcommitting is coming back. I'm not sure exactly when this podcast is launching, but we are, a friend and I are launching a brand called Little Peppino. So in this brand, it's kind of using the knowledge and the know-how from launching Banish and trying to find products in every kind of industry. The ones that I couldn't find, it's kind of launching those products. So it's going to be sustainable kitchenware to start with, made from bamboo and silicon, and that will be stocked on Banish, and then as it grows, stocked here, there and everywhere. It's been fun getting back into the product development side of things, because I'm so used to telling other people's stories and kind of sitting back and kind of getting the final result and the pretty pictures and then going and on and selling and educating to people. So it's been fun getting our hands dirty again and in that research development process.
Well, you're obviously a go-getter, but not everyone is, you know, has the business know-how and the ability to just kind of like start something up that's going to be massive and awesome. So I'm interested in hearing more about your focus on community. You did a recent TED talk at the TEDx Darlinghurst event, which was awesome. And in it, you mentioned the strength in building communities and connecting with people around us. So can you talk to us a little bit more about how that theme's brought into your focus as well?
So yeah, I would definitely say I'm very passionate about community. For me, I think that social media and lockdown has really shown us that we still have such large communities. And I think sometimes it can feel, especially in the sustainability world, like you're just one person pushing and trying to make a difference. And it can feel like you're just taking steps backwards instead of taking steps forwards. But I think for me, my biggest learning from this whole journey that I've gone on the past couple of years is that there are so many amazing people out there that are doing the right thing. And it's about banding together. And it's about you guys doing this amazing podcast and then doing education. And somebody else down the street might be collecting bottle tops and then sending them off to make prosthetic limbs. I think the solution to climate change is us all finding our role in community and doing something. And our roles are going to be so different, but we have to play to our strengths and we have to really join together, because together we can make a difference. So I think it's about harnessing your strengths, but then also working together. So finding those people in your community. And if you can't find, I don't know, neighbors or people around the corner who are interested in sustainability, there are people in the next suburb or the next community group or online who are like you and want to make a difference. So I think whilst it can sometimes feel lonely, it's about reaching out and having a conversation and finding that connection with one another. And for me, that's what keeps me inspired and it keeps me motivated, because I so often when I meet people who aren't in the sustainability industry, they say, oh yeah, but you know, can't it just be so overwhelming and depressing and you just feel like there's nothing happening? But I almost feel like it's the opposite being in the industry, because you hear all of the amazing stories and I'm surrounded by it every day about people making positive changes. And even if it is as small as kind of saying that people don't want a plastic lid on their coffee cup when they're at the cafe, like for me, I think that's such a cool, great win. So it's just about celebrating the small things, but then also looking at the big picture and going, if we're all making these small changes, they are going to be making a big difference. So I think for me, that's where this passion for community has come from. I know that personally, I can try to live as sustainably as possible, but I still drive a car. I live in a house where I'm renting, so it's not powered by solar. There are just things that I'm not going to be able to change, but I can make other changes. And somebody else, my next door neighbor, has got solar, and he sells his solar back on the grid. So potentially I'm purchasing that. So it is all making differences and it is all making changes. So I think that's where my passion has come from. I'm a very big believer when it comes to sustainability, we don't all need to be perfect. We need to be just trying our best. And I think doing it together is the most motivating and inspiring way to do that.
So nice to hear. On a personal note, and I probably will speak for Lisa as well. I mean, Lisa works for Climate for Change. So she's in the climate sustainable industry, you know, like that's all the time. And then we also do this podcast and then, you know, like, so I feel like it can be quite overwhelming for Lisa sometimes. I feel bad when I start talking to her about stuff and she's like, oh God, can't we just talk about something else? Because it can be a bit of a burnout of, you know, here constantly thinking and talking and all that sort of stuff. But in terms for us for the last 6 months in Melbourne, it has been quite challenging to keep motivated. And we always try and be really positive on the podcast as well. And that's why we've gotten guests in to try and remind us about that positivity and what great things are happening. And that, you know, we can each individual by just doing something, can make a difference. And once you master that one thing, then you can move on to the next thing. So whether it's with your next purchase of something that you look at being more sustainable or more ethically sourced, or just getting something repaired versus buying it brand new, you know, there's so many kind of positive ways. So it's inspiring. It re-inspires me, I feel, every time I talk to someone about their journey and stuff like that as well.
No, definitely. And I think, I just want to jump in there, because I think with COVID and both of you guys being in lockdown in Melbourne at the moment as well, it can be really disheartening for everybody, because we're seeing the amount of single-use plastic that's almost being reintroduced. It felt like before, at the start of the year, every person, most of the people I know, had a reusable coffee cup and we were all doing all of these great things. But now we've kind of got a lot of cafes aren't accepting reusable coffee cups. People are wearing single-use masks, single-use gloves, all of this kind of stuff. So it can feel like we're taking so many steps backwards. But we also have to remember that we aren't going out of our house as much anymore. Food waste statistics, like the amount of food that we're wasting, has actually gone down. Air pollution has gone up. There's so many other things. So I think it's a good idea to have a think about the broader perspective, because like single-use plastic is something that is very front of mind and it can seem overwhelming. But if you do take a step back and you go, no, people are kind of making their own bread, pasta, growing their own vegetables, wasting less food, the air pollution, that there are so many positives that have come out of this as well. So I think that it's just about balancing that too.
And I think people have realized how much they can do stuff without that travel too. You know, you think about all that air travel that used to happen for people to fly from Melbourne to Sydney, for example. I think we're still allowed to do that. I don't even know. Like for business, not personal, you don't necessarily need to have that anymore. Everyone's realised that they can do a lot of stuff via a Zoom and that sort of stuff. I do miss the human contact, though, I have to say. It is one of the things I think that's been the hardest for me, is that I get my energy off other people, and so that's what re-inspires me and all that sort of stuff. And like, for example, we would normally be at Lisa's house doing a day, you know, of podcasting, and I would normally leave so energized and pumped and all that sort of stuff. I always do still after our conversations, Lisa, still I'm still energized and pumped. But I feel like we do need to look at our local community then of people and what other people are doing. So, you know, like I bumped into a couple of people the other day that were just collecting rubbish, you know, just in our local streets because they can't do beach cleanups at the moment, you know, so they're just mixing it up. So I just introduced myself and, you know, just said, you're a couple of legends. I love you, you know, for doing that and all that sort of stuff. Just taking those small little moments and, yeah, you're right, like by just being proud of what everybody is doing in that step of things. So I'm sure that you've had plenty of obstacles that have come up from other than overcommitting. what obstacles have you or do you still encounter?
Yeah, I think for me, I like to explain kind of running your own business, and you guys would know this as well, as like being on a roller coaster. The highs are so high and you just are on kind of cloud nine going, this is amazing. And then like that, it just plunges and you're kind of so low and something bad will happen. And then you're kind of coasting along at kind of a relatively good pace. And then things will either get out of control in a good way or they'll just kind of come crashing down. So for me, I love structure, and I, as much as I love to kind of be an entrepreneur and I love change and I love everything else, I do like to be able to control it. And in times like this, there is no such thing as control. So I think for me, that's been one of the hardest parts. We can predict things to a certain extent, but you just don't really know ever what's coming. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship. I love that about my job, but then sometimes I go, oh, I just love a really chilled out, nice week that doesn't involve me kind of going absolutely crazy. So I think that's probably it for me. It's the kind of just not knowing what's going to come. And for me, the hardest part is at the moment I run Banish by myself. So when I get the best ideas is often when I'm on holidays, when I have a bit of time to step away and to think about nothing, I'll get the best ideas. So not having any holidays, any breaks, any time off this year, like everybody's been experiencing, I found it has been a lot harder to kind of separate the work and the play. And because I love work, and for me it is like play, it is really hard to switch off, especially when my whole life is sustainability. So when I'm relaxing in the garden, it's because I'm propagating things and I'm growing tomatoes from seeds and I'm kind of, I don't know, composting. So those things that for other people would be a relaxing thing are technically part of my work as well. So I think that's also something, I wouldn't say that's a massive struggle, but it's just hard to switch off when you love something so much. But then you also know that switching off will help you run a better business and be more successful. So it's kind of like that tricky situation.
Well, I would like to know obviously this new business is going to be the focus for the, you know, immediate future, but what are your plans beyond it? Like, are you taking over the world sustainably?
Exactly that. I think my biggest aim in the future is just to keep doing what I'm doing, and that is just to be talking to as many people as possible about how to live sustainably. And I don't really know exactly what that looks like. And I don't really mind about that. I'm like, if it's in person, that's great. If it's over podcasts, if it's kind of on social media, if it's videos, if it's I'm on TikTok for some reason, if it's all of these different things, really that is my aim, is just to get talking and to have conversations with new audiences and new people and to inspire them to just make one simple change.
Yeah, fantastic. So what would be your one tip then for our listeners, if they were going to take one message away from this conversation with you, what's Lottie's tip for sustainability?
I don't think there's a one-size-fits-all approach to sustainability, so I don't think I'd like to recommend just one thing that everybody should do. But in saying that, what I think everyone should do is just do that one thing you've been meaning to do. I don't know if it's in the back of your head, if it's like start a compost bin or swap to a bamboo toothbrush or start soft plastic recycling. I think it's just do that one thing that's been on your list, because I don't want everybody to do the same thing. I want everyone to do something different. So it's just to go do that. I'm telling you all to just do that one thing that's been on your to-do list.
Preach. That is my message too. Just do the one thing, then that thing will lead to another thing, and that thing will then lead to more. And you won't even realize all of the things that you've ended up doing just by starting with that one thing.
So we hope that you have enjoyed our conversation with Lottie from Banish and Little Peppino as much as we did. We've got some awesome stuff there from you, Lottie. Thank you. You can also listen to the TED Talk that you did. I think that's going to be released through TEDx Darlinghurst.
Yeah, that's right.
So really good 10 minutes that created a good snapshot and a good starting point of getting to know you. So as always, we hope that you have enjoyed this episode and it's helped to inspire you to become a more sustainable you.
Sustainable You can be found on Instagram at Sustainable You Pod, on Facebook at Sustainable You Podcast, or connect via email at sustainableyoupod@gmail.com. Episodes are created by Lisa and Jackie and produced by Fran from 17th Street Audio. If you appreciate the podcasting information shared, please like, subscribe, and share. If you are listening on iTunes, Jackie and Lisa would appreciate you giving them a 5-star rating and writing review to help other people find their podcasts.